que hagan las preguntas, porque seguramente muchas van a tener ganas de hacerle preguntas a nuestro siguiente speaker con el hashtag MoveFoodStar. Nosotros las vamos a ir recogiendo, vamos a tener una instancia en el living con nuestro speaker para poder hacer todas las preguntas que nos acerquen. Así que aprovechen este momento y no voy a dar mucho más, no voy a hacer más tiempo, vamos directo. Porque me da muchísimo gusto, muchísimo placer y es un lujo presentar al próximo orador. Él es un líder futurista en tecnología y fundador de Wikipedia y Wikitribune. Es uno de los visionarios más buscados en negocios y tecnología, enfocado en el acceso libre del conocimiento para todos de manera colaborativa. Fue nombrado como una de las personas, de las 100 personas más influyentes de Time. También fue reconocido por el Foro Económico Mundial como uno de los 250 mejores líderes del mundo por sus logros profesionales, su compromiso con la sociedad y su potencial para contribuir a dar forma al futuro del mundo. Vamos a recibir con un fuerte aplauso a Ginny Wales, que nos hizo para...
I've come from Sweden, where I was just before, and I can tell you, your weather is better. So what I'm going to talk about today, the theme here is Thrive in a Wiki Future, and I'm really going to talk about some of the things that, a bit of my history, tell you a little bit about Wikipedia and how it works and where we are today, because I think that's something that people can ponder and interest in. Give you a little bit of a philosophy about how wikis work so that you can understand a little bit better some of my thinking around empowering communities to do great things online. And then we talk about what's coming next. This is from my project, Wiki Tribune, which I've just launched in the last year, and it's what I'm working on all of these days. So in 1962, Charles Van Doren, who was later a senior editor at Britannica, said, "The ideal encyclopedia should be radical. It should stop being said." But if you know anything about the history of Britannica or indeed any of the traditional encyclopedias, they did not become radical. They kept being very, very safe, very old-fashioned, and they didn't really take advantage of the new technologies to bring people together to share knowledge. Wikipedia, on the other hand, began with this very radical idea. And that's for all of us to imagine a world in which every single person on the planet is given free access to the sum of all human knowledge. And that's what we're doing at Wikipedia. Now, every element of this vision statement is important. When I say every single person on the planet, this means that the Wikipedia project is inherently global, it's inherently multilingual, and we try to reach everyone. It also means, in fact, that we are interested in people who are not online yet, and that is a big part of our work, is thinking about how to get Wikipedia to more and more people around the world as they come along. Free access, this means something very important. It means you don't have to pay to access Wikipedia, but it also means that everything in Wikipedia is freely licensed, which means that you can copy it, you can modify it, you can redistribute it, you can redistribute modified versions, and you can do all these things commercially or non-commercially. So this is one of the reasons why Wikipedia is now really becoming part of the infrastructure of the world. You know, anytime you type a question into Google and Google tells you the answer, it's because Google has read Wikipedia and gets all the information from there. And then finally, the sum of all human knowledge. What this means is that Wikipedia is something very specific. It's an encyclopedia. So Wikipedia is not a newspaper. Wikipedia is not YouTube. So as much as I do love funny cat videos, they don't belong in Wikipedia. And this vision of an encyclopedia is part of what enables our community to come together and to work. Everybody understands what we're trying to accomplish, and that makes it easier for people to come together and do that. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to show you a video. You'll meet some of the community members in the video, some of the people who are working with Wikipedia. But the video is really about this idea of truth, about the importance of facts. We've been through a period of time when in the media people are talking about politics a lot and post-fact politics and so on. This is something that we react very strongly against. We think that facts are really important. And so here I'm going to show you this video to meet some of the community members.
Information starts quickly means that truth is very quickly and wise is
Sorry. I'm not very good at computers.
The fact that information spreads quickly means that truth can spread quickly and lies can spread quickly. And Wikipedia, I think, really tries to be that place you go when you've got a moment to reflect and say, okay, I actually need to learn about this.
But the point is, we're global. We're in a lot of languages. talk about when we talk about the global nature of Wikipedia is the question of censorship, which is a problem that we do face in various places around the world. So currently we are completely blocked in both China and Turkey. The Turkish situation is fairly, we've been blocked there for about 10 months, and we're actually fairly confident that the Turkish will change their mind soon, but we don't know. As you know, this political situation in Turkey is not easy at the moment. But with China, we have been blocked for a very long time, and one of the reasons is that they don't like certain of the entries in Wikipedia about certain sensitive topics that they don't even really want people talking about at all. So the kinds of topics that they have complained about would be our entry on the Tiananmen Square incident, entry about Liu Xiaobo, who won the Nobel Peace Prize for his activism around democracy in China. But we've always had a very strong principle that we will never censor Wikipedia to hide true information at the behest of a government. This is just something that we will always refuse to do as a matter of principle. And this is a really important thing to us because we are a charity and our mission is free knowledge for everyone. And this doesn't mean that we can and should take a strong stance against censorship. Most of the internet companies out there don't take the same strong stance. They do censor content at the behest of local government. And this is something that once they started doing it, we realized that we must not. So far, we're in a bit of a stalemate with China. I don't anticipate any changes coming to that soon. But we still, very slowly, we do have discussions with them and we will see what we can do. One of the interesting things is that even though we've been blocked in China for a long time, we have had a kind of a cultural impact in China. Someone sent me this picture of a menu from Beijing. It's a little hard to see there. It says Fried Special Wikipedia. Here's another one. Wikipedia Fried in Wales. So someone sent me this and they said, Jimmy, what does this mean? And I looked at it and I emailed back and I said, I have no idea. Well, I said, I do know who Wilma, beef brisket in Wikipedia Forever. I do know who Wilma, so I emailed the Beijing area Wikipedia community and I asked them, what does this mean? And they discussed it amongst themselves for a few days and then they came back to me with a formal answer and said, Jimmy, we have no idea. These are all different food items. Here's another one, there's a Wikipedia bread company, and it's sort of called Starbucks, it's nice. So the closest thing we've been able to figure, most of these menus started appearing just around the time of the Beijing Olympics, and they've been completely blocked in China. And a few months before the Beijing Olympics, the Chinese decided to take a more open approach to the internet because millions of foreigners were coming and they wanted to put on a good face for the world. And so what we think is that stir-fried Wikipedia. I like the spicy myself. What we think is that a lot of restaurant owners decided that because millions of foreigners would be coming to Beijing for the first time, that they should translate their menus. And so they just went to Google, and any food you type into Google, of course, what's the first thing you get? Wikipedia. So how do you say chicken in English? Wikipedia, maybe. So anyway, we have no idea on this sort of one. So some key statistics about this. So we are global. We have 11 languages now. We have over 1 million entries. We have 54 languages, at least 100,000. We have 130 languages, at least 10,000. And we have 246 languages, with at least 1,000. Now, 1,000 articles is not much of an encyclopedia. That's really a very small community that's just gotten started. These are the languages we're most interested in and we're most excited about. When we look out the next 5 to 10 years, the next billion people will be coming online, and they will largely be coming online on mobile devices. And they will want access to knowledge. Access to information is incredibly important. And so this is something that I'm very excited about. I think that we're being hosted here by a mobile phone company, and I think it's one of the most interesting industries in the world in the sense that it is a purely for-profit industry, and phone companies want to make money, and yet it's also a very idealistic industry in the sense that we are really transforming people's lives. When you put a phone in the hands of a person who never had access to the world before, suddenly, because of the internet, they have access to literally everything. And so at Wikipedia, we're very excited about that. We're excited about that opportunity to go into people's homes, into young people's homes for the first time ever, and give them access to the entire world's knowledge. It's incredibly important, incredibly exciting. And then for us, of course, we think this is a very big responsibility. One of the questions that people often have is, who writes Wikipedia? So why do we care who writes Wikipedia? Well, here's one reason. This is a quote from a woman who is a school librarian, as it turns out. She said on Twitter, yesterday I asked one of my students if she knew what an encyclopedia is, and she said, is it something like Wikipedia? So if you think about Wikipedia, Wikipedia is now 17 years old. And so what this means is that for young students just entering university, say 18, 19 years old, Wikipedia has existed from the time that they were learning to read. And certainly in the last 5 years, when they were going to the internet for their homework or for whatever personal interest they might have, Wikipedia has been ubiquitous. It's just part of the, it's like the air and the water, and it's just part of the world. And so that generation that's coming up now, I would call them the Wikipedia generation. They're the generation that grew up believing that they can have access to any information that they want. And you know, whenever people are negative about young people these days, I always remind them how fanatical young people are about Wikipedia. They love Wikipedia, they love learning. Yes, of course, they do all kinds of silly things on social media, which we would have done too, but at least they have it. But they are also very passionate about knowledge, and I think that's incredibly important and incredibly exciting. If we look at who the Wikipedians are, by the numbers, we've got some statistics about our community of authors. Our community is about 87% male. We think this is a problem. We measure this from time to time. We hit varying. Sometimes it's 80%, sometimes 87%. It's really hard to tell exactly. But we do know that it's a largely male community of editors. And this is something that we think should change. We have an average age of around 26, which is fine. The typical Wikipedia volunteer would be late 20s or in their 30s, very often from a tech background, and very interested in science and technology and so forth. And then you have about double the percentage of PhDs compared to the general public. And that's, that doesn't mean that Wikipedia is mostly written by PhDs, but it just means there's a lot of PhDs in the community. Which makes sense. If you think about a hobby of writing an encyclopedia, it's a pretty geeky hobby, so it's actually find it more interesting than most. So in terms of all this, one of the things that we really do have a focus on is trying to increase the diversity of the Wikipedia community. One of the things that we know is a result of the lack of balance in the community is that we're really strong on certain topics and we're a lot weaker. So I'm a parent, and I can tell you that our entries on early childhood development are not very good. And the reason is because your 26-year-old male computer geek doesn't know anything about children, is not interested at all, and therefore those articles are not well written. We see other things. So the bias in Wikipedia is not it's not simple to understand. If you read Wikipedia entries, you'll very seldom find examples of open sexism and things like that. That is not the problem of bias. The problem is, a good illustration of this is if you look at lists of award-winning authors, novelists, so people who've written novels that have won a major literary prize, if you look at the male authors versus the female authors tend to have much longer entries in Wikipedia. This is, I know hundreds of Wikipedia volunteers. This is not because they're thinking, oh, books by women are not interesting or important. That's not exactly, that's not what's happening. What is happening is that we know that for a lot of authors, there is a gender imbalance of who their readership is. The classic simple example would be, if you won a major literary prize in science fiction, chances are you're male, and chances are your audience is mostly male. And therefore those entries will be very good because those authors are very, you know, our techie users or fans. Other novels, maybe not, you know, just as important, but they haven't read them, and so they don't bother to write about them. So this is something we feel like needs to change. It's something that we're really looking at very hard and trying to change, but it's very, very difficult. When people want to know why we have this imbalance, I think there's basically three potential reasons. So the first reason, and I'm always very careful here to say, I'm not saying women aren't good at computers. That's definitely not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that when you click edit in Wikipedia, if the wiki markup language that you get is challenging, a lot of people edit. My father doesn't edit Wikipedia. He's in his 70s. I would say he is an expert on old cars. That's his hobby. He knows everything about old Corvettes and Mustangs and things like that. But he would never edit Wikipedia because when he puts edit, he sees this strange markup language and he hits the background. He doesn't want to do that. So we know that making it easier to edit is important for getting diversity. You want more people than just computer geeks. We want all kinds of geeks to be involved in editing Wikipedia. A second reason, and I say this as a joke against men because it's the best way to do it. Wikipedia, as you know, is written in a very authoritative manner. It just told you the facts in the room, and here's what's going on, blah, blah, blah. The one thing you know about men is that they are more than happy to speak in a very authoritative fashion about something they know absolutely nothing about. Women tend to be a little more sensitive. So I say this as a joke, but it actually does talk about the truth. When we have done focus groups to ask very highly qualified women, why don't we edit Wikipedia, they are far more likely than a man who's equally qualified to say, I'm not really sure I know enough. And that is a deeper, broader cultural issue that we can't address directly, but that we can be aware of to say that many women are less confident, whereas men are kind of like stupidly confident. So we have to look after that. And then the final thing is to look at the social culture within the community. Are we welcoming to everyone? Do we behave well? If people are being rude to women and insulting and so on, then of course they won't edit. We think we're pretty good on this front, but it is something that we're always focused on. I would say that of many, many, many online communities, Wikipedia is a very, very nice one, but we can always improve, and I think that's very important. So now I'm going to let you see a few more Wikipedia volunteers talking about Wikipedia.
If you have knowledge, why you must keep it by yourself? You must share it. I think.
I like that the purpose of this website didn't say website, didn't say wiki, didn't say internet, it just said free knowledge for everyone in their own language.
When a community is open, it's really made up those who dare take this invitation. And this is an invitation. Of course, you don't have to take an invitation, but there is an invitation out there in an edit button to say, come be part. What you know is as important as what we know.
You know, you're giving education to people, and not just any people, but a whole world. So I feel great by contributing to an encyclopedia that is accessible to virtually everyone in the whole world.
It's just making yourself happy by helping others. That's it. Because I want to be happy, I help others. And you're working together with so many different people from so many different cultures, and it's just amazing.
The thing about it, for me, what it's really about, it's just really sweet people. You know, we've got all these really sweet people who are just sticking online and they're typing, and instead of yelling at each other or just having a conversation or reading about gossip or whatever, they're trying to build something that everybody else will find useful. I think it's really sweet, really nice people.
So now I'm going to talk a little bit about my new project. So about a year ago, I launched a crowdfunding campaign to launch a completely new organization, a completely new project called Wiki Tribune. And the name kind of gives away, Wiki meaning it's an open community, and we want community, genuine community control. It's all about neutrality, it's all about quality. Tribune meaning a news site, so it's like a newspaper site. And the basic thinking here is, as we said, the idea of encyclopedia should be radical. I also think the idea of news service should be radical. It should stop being safe. What we've seen in the last 10 years or so with online news is that it's been really quite stagnant. And in terms of really empowering communities, it's very little. For the most part, all we have for community online in news is, you know, here's the news story, and then down at the bottom is the comments where the worst people in humanity screaming each other and screaming each other. and it's not helpful. It's not really a useful part of the news. And yet we know from Wikipedia that there are all these really nice people, and they're really smart, and they really are eager to take part in public life and take part in making something better. And we want to think about how can we do that. So I've launched Wiki Tribune as a new news site. And the reasons for this should be pretty familiar to everyone, but I'm going to go through it in particular detail. So inside Wikipedia, we're very passionate about facts. As you see, the Facts Matter community talks a lot about the quality of sourcing, about neutrality, and about how to improve the quality of information that's provided. And yet, what's going on outside Wikipedia? What are we seeing as broader trends across the online world? Well, one of the things we see is that the advertising-only business model has been incredibly destructive for journalism. We still have fantastic journalists, we still have some fantastic news organizations out there, but they've been under incredible financial pressure, and the financial pressure means that they are being out-competed by low-quality audiences who pursue all kinds of strategies just to get more clicks. One of the things that everyone's familiar with is the clickbait headline. You know, you're on a news site and you get down to the bottom and you see, ooh, you'll never believe what this child star looks like now. I'm so guilty, I'm always curious. I click and then it's like 30 clicks until you find out. I'll give you one tip for life that I have discovered that will really, you'll thank me soon. The next time you see a headline like that, you're like, ooh, you know, what does OP look like now? Just go to Google and type, you know, what does so-and-so look like now? Bam, one picture, you're done. You don't have to read the whole nonsense. No, but for Wikipedia, we've been very proud always. We are a charity, and we've always pursued a model with no advertising on Wikipedia. And there are a lot of things that that implies, a lot of reasons why we do that. One of the reasons is, at the Wikimedia Foundation, the charity that runs Wikipedia, we have no interest in what you're reading. We're not trying to push you towards topics that have better ad revenue. We're not trying to offer you clickbait headlines to make you stay longer. We're not trying to tempt you with things. Just for humorous purposes, I made a little mock-up of what Wikipedia might look like if we had a different business model. And of course, if you ever look at the mail online, one of the worst examples of news out there. This is exactly what they do. In order to keep people clicking, they put lots of tempting headlines, lots of girls in bikinis, and people just click on to see what it is. And it's a complete utter waste of time. Most of these things at the bottom are secret and advertising. So you click it, it's kind of selling you a product, even though it's misleading because it looks like a news headline. It's quite bad. And I want to give one example in particular. Now this photo, I think, is a spectacular, beautiful photo. This is a photo that was taken in Beijing. It's showing a sunset on a giant TV screen on a very smoggy day. So you see it's really gray and there's a lot of pollution and so forth. And here's the news story. China starts televising the sunrise on giant TV screens because Beijing is so crowded and smog. It's a fantastic story, right? It catches your eye, a beautiful picture, very much a human interest, like, oh my God, how bad is it in China that they have to televise? And this is from the Mail Online, which most people regard as a bit fluffy, but you don't think of it as really fake news. But the truth is, this story is a perfect example of fake news. This has been widely debunked. By the way, it's been on the internet for several years. They haven't taken it down yet. So the truth is, what is happening here? So the story, and one of the things that's interesting to me about the story is it says that by James Nye and Associated Press Reporter. Now, Associated Press is the wire service in the U.S. It is quality, traditional, you know, they just report the news straight, a lot of other papers pick it up and they can modify it. I did like a professor checking for plagiarism. I Googled some of the sentences to find out where was the original Associated Press story, what did it say? The original Associated Press story was just a very boring story. It's just, record smog today in Beijing, and somebody said this, and you know, there's a smog crisis going on at the moment. Nothing about a television and so forth. It turns out that that part was completely made up. That television is there all the time. It's been there for years. It is an advertising billboard. That particular advertisement is a travel ad. You know, it's like, come to the islands and, you know, see the sunset. And so basically, the male made up the story. They completely made up the story that the reason that Jumbo is there is so that people can watch the sunset. And it's still online. So why did they do that? And what's interesting about the male is that they are very proud and very, very quick to tell you that they almost never lose lawsuits, which for me is the absolute lowest possible standard of journalism. You know, they post a story, oh, is it good? You didn't get sued. Okay, that's not good enough. But the truth is, if they print something false and defamatory about a person by accident or on purpose or whatever, if you complain, they'll take it down. They take things down very quickly if they've made a mistake. Except in this case, there's no one to sue. It's a general kind of random slur against China. It doesn't really, you know, there's no person in it who's really able to sue them, and so nothing happened. The story, because it's got a great photo, because it's got a great headline, it was shared thousands of times. Who knows how much money they made off of this story, even though it's not true. So that advertising-only business model isn't really working. So I don't know who Peter Dean. As I said, we're a completely new organization. We're bringing the wiki editing model to news, but with a twist. And so the idea here is to say, look, what we want to do is bring together paid professional journalists, so I've got staff journalists who I've hired, and a wiki community, and they work together side by side as equals, which is really, really hard for people to get their heads around. People, particularly who work in journalism, they have an experience with communities that is basically they're those horrible people at the bottom of the comment box, right? And the idea that you can actually find good quality people who can help with the process of news is exciting, but hard to figure out. And so we're really driving for that. We completed a crowdfunding campaign. We asked people to subscribe for $15 a month. It went amazingly well. We hit our target, we hired 10 journals, we're now up to 13. What I'm doing with Wiki Tribune, I've launched it with no advertising and no paywall. So I've been joking a series of bad business decisions, but that's how I've built my career so far. We want to do very high quality, very usual journalism. We're up and running at wikitribune.com. And I invite you all to check it out. We are currently only in English, but we are hoping to launch in other languages as quickly as possible. Sometime this year, if things go well, we may be able to launch in Spanish and German languages, but to be determined. As a startup, we move very quickly, but we have to see what we can do. As you can see, like any wiki, you can check it and you can see you can read the story, but you can also edit. You can go to the history and see all of the past changes and see who did what, so you can check that. And you can go to the talk page and discuss. And one of the interesting things about our talk page, what we're telling people is, this is not like other comment fields. So the idea is not, okay, here's our story, discuss. And do you agree or do you disagree with, in this case, Merkel or whatever. Instead, we say, look, the purpose of the talk page is solely to talk about how can we improve the journalism, how can we improve this story, but also what are the next things we should be looking at, what are the things that we can work together on, how do we make this better as a story, and I think that's very, very interesting. So, thank you. Now I'm going to move to time for questions. I can do that quite quickly, so we have lots of time for questions.